Gotcha.
That's shooting.
Good luck to you, Fred.
I need all the help I can get. It's good to be back together. I always enjoy the time together. I'm so glad Billy's not sick.
Me too.
But we're glad you're not sharing and that you stayed home last Sunday. But it's good to have you back with us, Billy. So, the church. Yeah, that's one thing that, you know, and I'm going to just make a side trip here. In the growth of the church, it's a process. And which one of us here doesn't need to grow? We're always going to people that need to grow. Just like individuals, the church has times where we have ups and downs. I don't really see this as a downtime, but we've seen a little bit of a transition, and our Wednesday night and our Sunday morning Bible class and Sunday afternoon attendance is down. Let's work on that, each one of us, and try to see what we can do about that, encourage others. And I know that we've got jobs, and that is a hassle, and Billy's looking for a different job. He said it's going to be a problem, too, when he finds it. And there are those kind of jobs, but then there's those that need to grow and really don't understand. Then there's those with health problems. And Kenneth does not feel good. And incidentally, Kenneth is at a point where he's tired. And so we need to try to encourage him, but just understand that and keep that in mind. But then there are those that are spiritually, they just don't understand that God expects them to be in the assembly. And they've also not grown to see the great fellowship and love that we share. Yeah, I love the time with you guys. And it is a big encouragement for me. And I want to share that with as many as possible. And it's discouraging. I mean, we come together and we're excited to see everybody. And then we've got others that just don't understand that. Really need to get in there, and then there's people who are sick. We got Brian and Shelly are out sick, and we just don't let them get sick no more. I have to blame it on you.
Yeah, Chris.
That's right. It's all your fault, Chris. So at any rate, but we're looking at the church, and the church is an extremely valuable thing. Jesus, the purchase price for the church was the blood of Jesus. And I think if we recognize that and we understand what the church is, that it would be the central focus of our life. Not just a side effect, okay? But the church needs to be that central focus of our life. We looked at the fact that the angels and prophets, what's this deal that's coming? They looked for years. You and I get to be a part of it. We've got to see that the prophets looked at it as a kingdom. And not an earthly kingdom, as Jesus said. My kingdom is not of this world. But is a spiritual kingdom. And the eternal abode of that is heaven. But the earthly part of that is the church. And so we looked at the fact that it is unending. And there's nothing that can overtake the church. You know, there's a lot of times we have different discouraging things that come. Over the last 11 years, as we've tried to grow the church here, we've had some things that were just devastating and we just didn't know if we'd ever overcome. But you know what? We came out better and stronger when it was all done. Because you can't do away with the church. And the only thing that's going to happen is if you and I don't keep doing what's the right thing. That's the problem. And so let's keep trying to do what's right. Let's keep trying to live right and keep trying to go forward. A local congregation can die. But if it does, it's the members' fault. It's not Satan's fault. Okay? And so we need to keep that desire and that momentum going to build the church. We got youth rallies, we got friends and family days, we meet people in the community all the time. We're out in the community and we set a good example for them. And so we do all of these things and try to invite people and get people to study the Bible to build the kingdom. And that's what it's all about. We got to keep that in mind. And so the next thing I want us to know, and this is something that I think that it makes the congregation here so different, is because it was looked at as a peaceful organization. and it is here. Okay? And that's a great joy. That's something that is so very important. Back in Isaiah chapter 11 and verse 6, we see the peaceful nature of the kingdom of God. Isaiah chapter 11 and verse 6. Notice it says, "The wolf also shall dwell with the lamb." You know what the wolf is? It's a predator of sheep. But in the church, the wolf is going to dwell with the lamb. The leopard shall lie down with the kid. Okay? A leopard and the kid is the little goat, baby goat. Okay? And it's not talking about a two-legged kid, but it's talking about a baby goat. And the leopard, which is a beast of prey, they feast on those delicious little tidbites. But at any rate, they're going to lie down together. It says, "And the calf and the young lion and the fatling together, and a little child shall lead them." Isaiah's looking at the church, okay? I had a conversation not too long ago with a person about a physical organization. And the conversation went something along the fact where you get different elements within the organization, and one element has greater numbers and they get to have more power. And though the organization as a whole dies because one little segment overtakes the rest. And I told him, I said, "Well, you know what?" I said, "That's why in the church we're all equal. It doesn't matter from the background we came. We may have been a mighty warrior in our life before we were a Christian. We're just equal here, okay? There's not one of us that wields more power than another. And so that's something very important. And that's the thing about the church. We may come from totally opposite backgrounds. We may come, you know, and this is what's neat. I mean, Tim came from Korea, okay, during that wartime. Arch enemy. But not in the church, are we? We're the best friends. There's no animosity there whatsoever. And there shouldn't be. If there was, it'd be our problem. And we better repent. Because the lion and the lamb are going to lie down together, guys. And we need to make sure that the church is the peaceful organization that the prophet said it would be. And so let's go a little bit further as we drop down in the New Testament. Hebrews chapter 12 and verse 14. And I really like this passage. And I look at it often. And I let these words sink in. It says in Hebrews 12, 14, "Follow peace with all men and holiness, without which no man shall see the Lord." So, there's two things that are required if you want to see the Lord. Peace and holiness. So, not only in the church are we to be peaceful, but with all men. All right, yeah, I know. I was thinking about that, our neighbor too. And I'm really struggling with my neighbor.
That's what I was going to say.
You know. Oh, you're struggling with your neighbor. I'm struggling with mine. Okay. And I haven't said a word. But I didn't go out and pick that trash up either. And so, at any rate, we need to be peaceful. Okay? This is what we've got. We've got peace. You think Satan likes it? But we've got peace, don't we? Do we have a lot of love, Kara?
Yep.
Is it not amazing, the relationship we have? And we're all different. Every one of us is different. Different backgrounds, different struggles. But you know what makes a difference? We want to see the Lord. That's the church that Jesus established. And that's why the church is a taste of heaven. But it's up to us. Satan can't overcome the church. But you and I can create a lot of problem in it. And so we've got to be very careful about that and have the proper attitude towards one another. And this is exhibited in the way we act. And I want to go to Colossians chapter 3. This is kind of a neat passage and a lengthy one. But it's one that shows us so much about who we are and who we are supposed to be. In Colossians 3, starting in verse 12, it says, "Put on, therefore, as the elect of God." Now, when it's talking about put on, all of us got up this morning and we got our clothes all on. And that's what it's saying. As Christians, we clothe ourselves with these things. So it's not just a side effect. It's not just something that we look at once in a while and think about. This is something that becomes part of us. "Put on, therefore, as the elect of God, holy and beloved, bowels of mercies." You got mercy in your heart? "Kindness." Are you kind? Even to the people that you don't want to be kind to? "Humbleness of mind." Do you have a proper estimation of yourself and God and who He is and the relationship you have to Him? And then the relationship we have to one another? I've got to remember you're more important than I am to. And if I think I'm more important than you, I've got a problem. "Meekness." "Long suffering." You know what's interesting about the long suffering thing?
Sorry.
It means a lot of stuff we got to put up with.
It's long.
Yeah, it's long. It doesn't end quick. But the problem is there's things we got to put up with. Now think about that for just a minute. As Christians, there's a lot of things we put up with. That means I might get under your skin once in a while. You're supposed to be long suffering.
Enjoy it, boy.
Hey, I'm just teaching what it says, okay? Forbearing one another and forgiving one another. Think about the attitude that comes right after the long suffering. Guys, there's attitudes and there's issues and there's problems that we have. Let's work them out in the proper attitude that God says. He says, "If any man have a quarrel against any, even as Christ forgave you, so also do ye." You see the peacefulness that comes from this kind of an attitude? And it's not always easy. But it's commanded. We're the church. We've got to follow peace with all men if we want to see the Lord. And above all these things, put on charity or self-sacrificing love, which is the bond of perfection. So I've got to have this love for you while I'm going to sacrifice for you. But that's the bond that pulls us together, even among the struggles and the problems. The lion and the lamb, okay? It's that bond of charity. And we need to have it, and we need to keep it. It's got to be there. And then verse 15, "And let the peace of God rule in your hearts." That means the peace of God is in charge in your heart. Now that's tough sometimes. "To the which also you're called in one body." Now let's stop and think about that for just a minute. You let the peace of God rule in your hearts to which you're called in one body. Now somebody tell me what the body is. The church. It's out of verse. We're going to run out of time, so we're going to have to start getting quick. But in Ephesians 1, 22 and 23, it says, "And hath put all things under his feet and gave him to be head over all things to the church, which is his body." Guys, as the church, we are the body of Jesus. And we are called into one body. And so there's a lot that could be said, and I'm not going to sidetrack into all that. But the thing is, this peaceful relationship, this peaceful organization is bound together in the way that we act one towards another. And when we act that way, it's going to be peaceful. Keep going into Romans chapter 12, verses 9 through 18. I probably won't read it all, but let's just read some of this. Romans chapter 12, it says, "Let love be without dissimulation. Abhor that which is evil. Cleave to that which is good. Be kindly affectioned one to another with brotherly love and honor, preferring one another." And when I prefer another, I'm putting the other above me. Okay? And that's what I got to do. Not slothful in business. In other words, I worked with Tim yesterday, and Tim's one of those that, you know, outside of Jared, I've not found many people that work as fast and as hard as Tim, and I kind of enjoy working with him. But it's neat. He's not slothful. He gets in there and does it. You know, that's where it's supposed to be. That's a command of God. Okay? Fervent in spirit, serving the Lord, rejoicing in hope, patient in tribulation, continuing instant in prayer. And so, distributing to the necessity of saints, given to hospitality, bless them that persecute you, bless and curse not. Rejoice with them that do rejoice, and weep with them that weep. Be of the same mind one to another, and it continues. Guys, we need to understand that this peaceful relationship is something that shows in the commands that God gives for us. And we need to look at these commands that is given, because that's what the church is supposed to be. And when you are saved, Jesus puts you in as part of the church. You're willingly saying, I want to be a part of that kingdom. You're willingly saying, I'm going to give in to the Lord. And that means that our attitudes and our actions go back to the Bible and we do what it says. Now, that doesn't mean that it's always easy. And one thing, because we're a body, we're an organization, the church, we kind of have one another to help, okay? Trent was arm wrestling, and he grabbed his other arm to help him to try to see if he could beat, okay? Well, we're a body. We're there for one another to help the body succeed. And that's what we got to do. We pull together. And so that's what we've got to recognize as we are this body, that we become what God says. And then there's the passage in 1 Corinthians chapter 6, verses 9 through 11. And this is kind of exciting passage because it talks about the world around us and our relationship to them. And it says in verse 9, 1 Corinthians 6, 9 following, know ye not that the unrighteous shall not inherit the kingdom of God? Be not deceived, neither fornicators, nor idolaters, nor adulterers, nor effeminate, nor abusers of themselves with mankind, nor thieves, nor covetous, nor drunkards, nor revilers, nor extortioners shall inherit the kingdom of God. And such were some of you. It's kind of neat, you know. We can all stop and think about what we used to be. And we'd all hang our head in shame. Often, somebody may criticize somebody else. Sometimes there's actions that need to change. There really are. All of us probably have some things we need to work on. But guys, let's stop and think for just a minute. Let's stop and think about condemning somebody else for their faults and not being honest with our own. Now, I'm not saying we shouldn't deal with sin. We need to deal with actions that are wrong. We need to find a loving, proper way to help one another in sin to change. But when you turn around and look yourself in the mirror, it should change the way you look at somebody else that's involved in sin. Does that make sense? See, this is a peaceful organization. The church is a peaceful body. And when we look at another's imperfections, and every one of us can recognize that everybody here has faults, but so do I when I look at you, and so do you when you look at me. And the key is we need to work together. We need to make sure that we put the Lord first in our life, and that we seek peace as we help one another to grow in the Lord. Okay? Let's remember that. You know, these Christians at Corinth, they were members of the church. They used to be extortioners and all kinds of ungodly people, but they changed. Does that mean that they automatically transformed and they never had another sin in their life? No. But they did change. They saw and they repented. And we need to recognize and make sure that when we deal with struggles, let's make sure that we do them properly so that we can all grow and come to the Lord. The prophet saw the church as having righteous judgment. righteous judgment. You know, in Isaiah's time, one of the problems that they were having was the judges were not righteous. You know, somebody slide them a little money under the table. You know, you hear the stories in Newton about, okay, if you don't belong to the right family, you don't get to play on the ball team. You ever hear that? Mm-hmm. We've all heard the stories. That's not the church. That is not the church. We are righteous in our judgments, both among ourselves and those on the outside. That's what the church is supposed to be. Back in Isaiah chapter 11 and verse 4. Isaiah chapter 11 and verse 4. The passage says, "But with righteousness shall he judge the poor, and reprove with equity for the meek of the earth. And he shall smite the earth with the rod of his mouth, and with the breath of his lips shall he slay the wicked." That's Jesus. Now, we're the spokesman for Jesus. It doesn't matter how whatever you got or represent. In the Lord's church, you're equal to everybody else. Nobody gets put up above anybody else. And if that ever happens, then we need to repent and come back and make sure that we're all equal. That's the way God designed it, and that's what He expects from you and I. The prophets said, okay, it's righteous judgment. He's going to rule with righteousness. And so you and I are the ones that are trying to put forth the words that He has said. And we've got to make sure as we make certain judgments that we judge properly. In John chapter 12 and verse 48, a passage that I use it a lot, and it's so important that we recognize. But Jesus said, "He that rejects me and receives not my word has one that judges him. The word that I've spoken, the same shall judge him on the last day." That's the New Testament. Okay? And so when we make judgments, we need to go back to the Bible and let the Bible be the rule book. And we look at one another and we don't respect one another's persons because we're extra good at making chocolate cake. You know, we're all the same. Okay? Because, well, we can stand up against the professor, as difficult as that may be, or we may be able to clean carpets better than anybody else. I don't know, pick out, you know, be able to handle in our job better than others and put up with some that we don't particularly care for. You ever have that trouble? You know, we've all got different problems that we deal with. But that doesn't make us better. What I like about the body is when we recognize the value of everyone and we hold one another up on the pedestal because of their value. Everybody here has great value. I love it how God placed every member in the body as it has pleased Him. And that means everybody is here because of God. God's the ones that placed us in the body. And He did it as it pleased Him. And that's what makes this body so amazing. So don't ever think that you're not important because you don't do what somebody else does. Just do what you do and do it well. Okay? And that's what we've got to do. We've got to make sure that we give it all we've got because we are the body. But the thing is, we've got to come back to the rule book. You know, we don't like rules, okay? I got one boss, and that's God. And He tells me to be nice to you. And if you're not nice to me, that's kind of makes me kind of wonder if I really want to do what He says. Because I'm human. But guys, we need to recognize that we've got to be righteous in our judgments. And then in Romans chapter 14, the entire chapter is dealing with what we call opinions. Does anybody here have an opinion? And you really like your opinion. In fact, you think your opinion is the only way to go, right? Now keep in mind, when we're dealing with opinions in this chapter, it's not about what God says. Okay? You can comb your hair to the side if you want. And I may not like it, but that's your opinion. Okay? Here in Newton, we choose to meet at 1 o'clock in the afternoon. There's not a lot of congregations that do that. They like 5 or 6 or 7. They think that's the best way to do it. And we say, we don't want to do that. That's our opinion. Okay? There are certain people that won't eat certain meats. You know, shame on them. You know? That's your problem. But you know what? That's your opinion. And you know what I'm going to do? I'm going to support you.
Yeah, sure you do.
Unless I can sneak some deer in there.
Yeah.
And then I will do it. Now, but Romans chapter 14 and verse 1, keep in mind, I mean, the wording here is a little bit challenging, but you, as you look at the whole chapter, you'll see what it's talking about. It's talking about opinions. It says, him that is weak in the faith receive, but not to judging his opinions. And I'm going to translate there instead of read. In this particular time, there were certain people that would not eat certain meats because they believed it was wrong. There were certain people that had certain days they'd celebrate because they believed they had to. There were certain opinions flying around. And God say, look, if somebody's weak in the faith, leave them alone. And that's why we've got to come back to the rule book. We've got to make righteous judgment. And sometimes that's not always easy, but that's why we become students of the Bible and we go back to see what it says. And this kind of a lesson, it's not a normal lesson that I'll do, but it's a very important one that shows us what the church is and what it's supposed to be. Guys, we've got to respect one another. And it all goes back to kindness, and it's so very important that we recognize it. So now, we've been dealing with this about, and I mentioned it, about dealing with sin in the camp. In other words, we ought to make righteous judgment, and we respect one another's opinions, but we need to understand that if somebody is in the church, is going in a wrong direction, we need to work carefully to bring them back. Galatians 6:1, brethren, if a man be overtaken at fault, you which are spiritual, restore such a one in the spirit of meekness, considering yourself, lest you also be tempted. Do you see the responsibility that we have in the church? Guys, when you see somebody sinning, carefully, gently, work towards helping them to change. And when you see it, you're the one who needs to do it. And that's the hardest thing to do. You know, I can't take what somebody says and go jump on it because they said so. Does that make sense? We've got the responsibility to deal with sin in the camp. And the whole thing is if you see me sinning and you don't come to me and talk to me about it, you know what that means? You don't love me. Now, we need to walk in wisdom. We need to be cautious. We need to be careful. But we need to make sure that we work on it and help one another to go to heaven. In 1 Timothy 1, 3 and 4. 1 Timothy chapter 1, verses 3 and 4. It says, as I besought thee to abide still at Ephesus, which when I went into Macedonia, that thou may charge some that they teach no other doctrine, neither give heed to fables and endless genealogies which minister questions rather than godly edifying which is in Christ, so do, which is in faith, so do. And so here we have the doctrine that is taught. We've got to make sure the doctrine is properly taught. We've got to make sure that people don't teach endless genealogies and fables that don't do anything good. We got to make sure that the godly edifying continues within the church. And that's why Paul left Timothy there, so he could make sure that that was taking place. When there's a problem, we need to deal with the problem. In 1 Corinthians chapter 5, verses 1 through 5, we have an immoral situation going on in the church. One of the members was involved in an ungodly life. And it says, it is reported commonly that there is fornication among you, and such fornication as is not so much as named among the Gentiles, that one should have his father's wife. That's a pretty terrible situation. And the church was supporting them. And so there was sin in the camp. Guys, it's righteous judgment. Now, why were they not dealing with it? I don't know. Maybe he was a pillar example in many other things. Maybe he had some qualities that the church really didn't want to get rid of him and were afraid to say anything. I don't know. It doesn't say. But they were humans just like us, and for some reason, they didn't want to deal with it. Sin needs to be dealt with. If we don't deal with it, we don't love the person. In fact, we don't love ourselves. And that's hard to do sometimes. Okay. The prophets also saw the church is worth dying for. We looked about that in Hebrews chapter 11. These people sacrificed everything. They were willing to do it. You know, Jesus in Matthew chapter 23 and verse 35 he's looking over the city and he's about to go to the cross. And he's really struggling with a lot of these things. And he says that upon you may come all the righteous blood shed upon the earth, from the blood of righteous Abel unto the blood of Zacharias, son of Berechias, whom you slew between the temple and the altar. These people that died were people that stood up for God and did what was right. They set examples for us. They were trying to teach the people, you need to come back to God. You need to work at fulfilling His work and His mission. God's going to make it anyway. Okay? But these people were trying to help people to change. People don't want to hear that so often. But they were more than willing to die for this church that they were prophesying about. Does that sink in? Does that tell you anything about the value of what God has given you an invitation to be a part of? Does that sink down into your heart and help you to see that value is worth sacrificing for? People died for it. And they didn't even get to see it and understand it, but they knew it was coming. But you are here. You are part of that. You're given that opportunity. And we need to take that opportunity quite seriously. 2 Timothy chapter 3 and verse 12, it says, "Yea, and all that live godly in Christ Jesus shall suffer persecution." Whether it's a totally ridiculous professor, or whatever. Take your pick. There's going to be problems. Okay? You living for God will bring persecution of some type. Now, I think we're blessed to live in a time where it's not what we think. It's not what others have put up with. I think we need to be thankful. The problem is, it scares me that I think that the ease in Zion causes us to be complacent and sit on our laurels and do nothing. When the church was being threatened with death, prison, and beating, it grew exponentially. Let's not let it come to that, to be determined to tell our neighbors and get them involved in the kingdom, the church, the body of Jesus. In my opinion, as I look at the Bible, I think that's what it takes like. I think the way to keep it from happening is for us to give everything we've got now before it comes. Does that make sense? Do you care? Guys, I think we need to recognize this. The church grows exponentially when it's suffered of threats of death. But when we're at ease in Zion, it's just kind of nice to sit back on our laurels and enjoy. and we cease to reach out. We cease to be zealous for the kingdom, the church, the body. We need to be zealous in peaceful times. 1 Peter chapter 4 and verse 14. 1 Peter chapter 4 and verse 14, it says, "But, and if you suffer for righteousness' sake, happy are ye, and be not afraid of their terror, neither be troubled." Becky's going through probably one of the hardest things of all of us right now, and I'm proud of you, Becky. And I hope you don't mind me bringing that up, but I think that is so neat. And I know it's not neat in your world, but you're a great example. And I thank you. Happy are you, blessed are you when you suffer. I know you don't feel that way. But now what's going on in your life? Okay? Do you have some struggles that's going on? Happy are you when you're approached for the name of Christ. Blessed. That's what that word means. Blessed. And so we need to keep that in mind. It's hard to see, and we want to say, what do you mean blessed? It don't feel blessed. Well, no, it doesn't. But man, do we grow and develop in those times. And it helps us to be a lot of times what we really need to be. A lot of times it's so easy to be complacent and not realize what we really need to be doing. How valuable our part in the church is. We've got responsibility. And we've got to understand that it's worth dying for. And we've got to be willing to continue to live until our dying day for the Lord. Revelation 2:10, "Be thou faithful unto death, and I will give thee a crown of life." There's two ways to look at that. Until it causes your death, or until you die. And so if it's causing your death, you need to be faithful till death. But if you're allowed to live a long and a wonderful life, with all of its ups and downs, be faithful till you draw your last breath. This last one is very dear to my heart. Always has been. And I hope I die before I get to where I can't deal with it. But the prophets saw the church as being evangelistic. Go with me to Isaiah chapter 2, verses 2 through 3. Isaiah 2, verses 2 through 3. Let's look at these verses. It says, "And it shall come to pass in the last days that the mountain of the Lord's house shall be established in the top of the mountains, and shall be exalted above the hills, and all nations shall flow unto it." It's talking about the establishment of the church in Acts chapter 2. "And many people shall go and say, come ye, and let us go up to the mountain of the Lord." You know what it's talking about? It's talking about the people that go out and say, "You come and be a part of the mountain of the Lord with me." That's evangelism. That's going out and teaching others the gospel of Jesus Christ. We start with our family and our friends, but then we keep going. We can't stop there. We've got to go. We've got to keep going out, because if one person won't hear me, the next one might. Dorothy and I get to the point where somebody says, "Don't want to hear it anymore. I'm moving on. Got no time for that. I'll still love them. I'll still be there if they come back and want to hear. But until that time, I'm moving on." The prophets saw the church as evangelistic. And we make up the church. Are we the church that the prophets saw? Think about it for a minute. Now, I think we do pretty good here, but I tell you what. I think we got a long ways to go. I think we need to keep after it. I think we need to hammer it. We need to give it everything we've got. That doesn't mean we become belligerent or rude in any way. That means that we are working continually to try to invite our family, friends, and neighbors, and all of those that we meet to be a part of the church that the prophets saw. Because that's the only place salvation is at. There is no salvation outside of the church. If you're not a part of the church, notice that Jesus added all those that were being saved to the church in Acts chapter 2 and verse 47. you're not in the church, you're not saved. That's pretty serious business. And so we've got to make sure that we understand that and we become that evangelistic individual. In Matthew chapter 28 and verse 19, Jesus gave the marching orders that you and I need to keep in mind. He said, "Go ye therefore and teach all nations." And when he says go, he doesn't mean you have to go with me to Jamaica to teach all nations. It means that wherever you're at, through the course of your daily activities, teach. That's what it means. It says, as you go, wherever you find yourself. And this is what we need to understand. Evangelism, and this is, they're wanting me to do this in Jamaica and teach a series of lessons on the fact that we've got to do this every day. You know, knocking doors, hey look, you know, I've been in towns where you got to go to get a permit. They're working at making a permit here now that you got to get, and they're right now, they're still excluding Boy Scouts and religious organizations. And I think, I don't care. Because I'll meet you at Walmart, won't I?
You're too bright.
Yeah, it's a good place. I don't need to knock doors. In my opinion, knocking doors is a salving of our conscience to make us think that we're doing the Lord's work in evangelism. Make evangelism fun and just get out among the people and work at leading them to Christ. Because they went among all nations. You know what I mean? They go and said, let us go up to the house of the Lord. Invite them to church. You know, this is one thing that's always amazed me. And this is what's so neat about our Friends and Family Day. You know, we need to just make that every Sunday. And let's work hard every Sunday inviting our friends and family to come to church. Now, I think we'll probably do some more of those special deals, but let's do it every Sunday. And because we want people to be a part, and we want people to see because Jesus told us to do it. And we have no choice. We have to do what He said. In 2 Timothy chapter 2, verse 24 through 26, this is important, guys, because it shows us the attitude that we're to have as we go. It says, and the servant of the Lord must not strive. He's talking about the soul winner. Don't strive. And I've seen a lot of striving over the years, and a lot of people won't have anything to do with the Lord's church because they've had some religious fanatic hammer them. Don't ever do it. The servant of the Lord must not strive, but be gentle unto all men. Gentle. Apt or ready to teach. And then there's that patience. It's kind of related to long suffering.
I have
man. In meekness, instructing those that oppose themselves. And we think they are against us if they don't agree with what we try to teach them. Isn't that what we think? Mm-hmm. Not what God says. Who's right? Me or you? Or me or God? God's right. God says they're opposing themselves. And then if God peradventure will give them repentance to the acknowledging of the truth, then they may recover themselves out of the snare of the devil who are taken captive by him to do his will. We've got a job to do. Let's make every Sunday Friends and Family Day and Wednesday. Let's invite our family and friends and tell them to enjoy the great Bible study that we have. You know, was it Terry that kept telling you need to come on Wednesday night?
Yes.
Finally he repented and came. And so, but the thing is, there's a lot of churches, they're excited about what they do. And the people are out there, they're inviting people. Are we inviting people? Let's think about it. Let's invite our friends, our family, and our neighbors, and our enemies. Because remember, the lion and the lamb will lie down together. When they become part of the church, they won't be an enemy anymore. Prophets saw the church as evangelistic. In 1 Corinthians chapter 9, verses 19 through 23, this is a passage that helps us to see that we've got a responsibility towards one another. I know that's 2 Corinthians. That's not 1 Corinthians. 2 Corinthians 9. I was looking at the wrong deal. Okay, 19. That's what the problem is. Okay, 1 Corinthians 9, starting in 19. For though I be free from all men, yet have I made myself servant to all, that I might gain the more. To the Jews I became as a Jew, that I might gain the Jews. To them that are under the law as under the law, that I might gain them that are under the law. To them that are without law as without law, being not yet without law to God, but under the law to Christ, that I might gain them that are without law. To the weak became I as weak, that I might gain the weak. I am made all things to all men, that I might by all means save some. And this I do for the gospel's sake, that I might be partaker thereof with you. So, get comfortable with people that you're not comfortable with. Walk in their shoes a little while. Not involved in their sin. Paul's clear on that. But get to know everybody. Get comfortable in their life. You know, I've been involved in a lot of lives. And a lot of them seem uncomfortable. But I'm going to do my best to be a shining light for Jesus. And then we need to make sure that we take wise steps. Put yourself in their shoes. And ask yourself, if somebody approached me the way I'm going to approach them, how would I respond? Walk in wisdom toward them that are without, redeeming the time because the days are evil. Colossians 4, verse 5. Walk in wisdom, guys, towards those that are without. The prophets saw the church as evangelistic. For us to be that church, we need to be evangelistic. Now, I'll be honest with you. I think we do probably better than a lot of the congregations that I've ever been in. But you know what? Let's grow. Let's do even better than we have in the past. Let's make every Sunday and every Wednesday Friends and Family Day. Let's invite people. Let's keep the building full. And let's be gaining more and more people that we can teach and help them to be the lion and the lamb that lies down together in peace. That's our job. Let's be the church that Jesus died for. If there's anybody that needs to respond to the invitation, guys, do it now while we stand and sing.